Hello everyone, welcome to Combox, where the game lives on. I'm your host Varun Albakunan, and I'm joined by Jared Kimber and Shahid Ahmed Khan. And welcome to today's Quick Picks episode on the greatest test number fours. We've done number fives, we've done openers, we've done number threes. I think we've even done all rounders and we've done keepers. It only took us about 75 years to actually do what is probably the most important batting position in test cricket history. Are we surprised how long it's taken us to do this episode?
I mean, the sheer number of things we haven't remembered to do. I don't know if this, I don't know how high this one is in the overall list.
So the pick order today is Jared, me, and then Cheyenne. So Jared, do you want to start us off?
Let's have a look. First pick for number fours of all time. Oh, this is easy, isn't it? It's Sachin.
I didn't even need to hear your opinion. I just wrote it down on a thing. I was like, it's the obvious choice, isn't it?
Like, yeah, we had him. Had him ranked as the second best batter in Test cricket history, and he's the number four. So, job done there. What did he score 10,000 runs? Oh, God, he scored 13,000 runs just at number four.
Yeah.
So, unlike some of these other countries, he did not piss about with his batting position.
Yeah, he's a one-woman man. That's what Sachin is.
Was that's very how loyal. A lot of people look. Yeah, that's how a lot of people have talked about him.
Yeah. For me, I think the second choice. I don't know if Jared will necessarily agree with him. I'm going with the best test batter of my generation and the one I have seen. I'm going Stephen Peter Devereux Smith as the second greatest number four of all time. I think you could argue there's other batters who could go here, but I think he's easily the best I've seen. And I'm a bit biased towards Steve Smith. He's great on soft pitches. He was great on flat pitches. He was great versus spin. He was great versus lateral movement, pace and bounce. He was good versus everything, wasn't he?
If it's number four, I think that makes sense, doesn't it?
I had him second too.
Yeah.
Steve Smith. Yeah.
Well, this is easy, guys. There's going to be no disagreement. Not going to be like the episode we did the other day on the Animal 11.
Fun episode. Where literally,
my God, that is that's a wild episode.
All right, Cheyenne. Then. So I have two picks here, and I think I know who the names are. And the orders might be a bit controversial for you guys. I don't know. But I would go Jacques Callis as my third pick. And then the fourth pick would be Brian Lara. I mean, the overall third and fourth picks. So that's the order I would go in. The reason is, I know in Art of Batting, we rank Brian Lara ahead of Jacques Callis as a test match batter. But purely sticking to number fours, I think if you look at Lara, his best did not come at number four as compared to Callis. So if you just look at their match factors, Callis's career match factor was 1.47 and it goes up to 1.56 at four. For Lara, it was 1.46 overall and it drops to 1.37 at four. So they both bat around 60% of the time, 61-63%. Same for Steve Smith, in fact. So they all bat at that position roughly the same amount. And so I think for that reason, if we are just picking a team, just picking the best number fours and not the best test batters, then I'm happy to go with Callis 3 and Lara 4.
I love how you picked the two guys who should have probably been number threes, but just couldn't be asked to bat at 3 and move to 4.
Lara is good at 3, by the way. I think he might be in with a shout for the best number threes too.
Yeah, I think he was, I think, when these did the episode.
Right? Must have been, yeah.
Jared, were they your 3 and 4 as well? I think they were. I think I had someone else before. I think I had someone else before Lara.
No.
Someone before Lara?
Yeah, I had going Joe Root as my pick.
Is it your pick now, or are you just doing this ahead of order?
No, it is my pick now, isn't it? Because Cheyenne has
to. Is it my pick?
No, you went first.
Oh, you know, it's you.
I'm going Joe Root. I think he's a better number four than Lara, if I'm being honest. I think, because again, it's mainly because he mainly batted at four, right? Lara's kind of split his duties a bit at 3 and 4.
I would have thought, let's have a look. So Root,
just look at runs.
Root has 8,800 runs there.
8,800 runs at
number And Lara has what, 7,000 odd runs? It's not that much different, mate.
No, fair enough. I thought it was much higher, to be honest.
I probably go in that order.
Root batted at three quite a bit, fair. Isn't it?
For England,
kept making him bat at three, is it not?
Yeah.
For Joe Root.
That's fair. That's
he even did well at five early in his career, I think so. He's batted in the other positions as well.
Yeah.
He opened.
He did open. That was, man, they made him do everything, didn't they, England?
That home ashes.
They fundamentally did not understand the assignment, I think, at a certain point with him. All right. Okay, so I get two picks here, right?
Yes, sir.
I think this is probably where it gets a bit more iffy, squidgy. I don't know what exact words we want to use here. I think my next two, though, are going to be Javed Mian Dad, who is Oh my God, why can't I find anything on Java Me and Dad here? Where's his record? He has 7,000 runs, an average of 54, number three. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
slightly better than I was looking down the list for him, and I was like, no, he's not down the list at all. So I was thinking about another number four from his era, but actually, I'm overcomplicating this. And Cheyenne having a power cut and disappearing has changed my pick, and I'm just going to go Virat Kohli.
Fair enough.
Ooh,
yeah. Those were my 6 and 7 as well, Meander and Virat.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of other really interesting ones coming up.
It's an absolute shame Virat Kohli retired in 2019 and didn't play a single test match after that.
he'd be a lot higher up on the list probably if he just, I don't know, if he had a Martin Crowe, like in Martin Crowe's case, he needed to play 4 more years to like really make himself into a goat. And in Kohli's case, he really needed Martin Crowe's knees to end his career on a high.
Forgot, is it my pick now? Already forgot.
It is you, sir.
Oh, yes. It is me. Fucking hell. See, this is where I'm already lost because I don't know who's a pick. fuck it. I'll take Greg Chappell.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say.
Same.
Yeah.
I think he's, I want to say he's, he was he the other batter other than Sachin who averaged 40 everywhere he played?
AB is also in that list, I want to say. AB de Villiers, that is. Maybe even Alan Border.
AB would be one of those.
Yeah. Maybe even Alan Border, if I...
Yeah, Greg Chappell has an elite record, doesn't he? Like, he's...
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like a near-flawless record. Do you think he's a bit underrated, Jared?
I think part of the problem is he doesn't play in Asia all that much, right? And also, when he was at his best, was probably in World Series cricket. So we don't quite get to see him. Cheyenne will remember, but I think we've got him at 18 or 19 in the book.
Yeah, it's with the Aussie captains in that tier.
Yeah, I think, which is pretty fair. Like, he's with Border and Ponting. Yeah. So I've got no real issue with it. But yeah, it's just that it's a shame because you're right. It's a beautiful record and a lot of people talk him up, but he doesn't quite get the remembered in the way that he should. But it's a lot of it is he only plays test cricket in what, 5 countries outside of Australia? And
we have England.
Like he doesn't play in India at all. Pakistan, right? And obviously he retires before South Africa. And so we just don't, and he plays one test in Sri Lanka as well. So it's just a bit awkward from that perspective. He never played the West Indies in at their prime, even though he played against them in their prime on Australian pitches. It's just, there's just so many holes in his record. As purely as a talent, I think he's, one of the best players of all time. I've got no, you could have had him ahead of Kohli or me and Dad.
Isn't he in the book? But we're doing number fours, so I think that's
higher than who?
He's actually higher than both Meander and Kohli in the book, right? But he goes up.
Yeah, but I.
It's because he's not a number four the way Meander and Kohli are in as many innings compared to those two, right? I think that's
what's sort of. Because he what does he play about 25 to 30 matches where he's not a number four and then about 50 where he is?
86 out of 151.
I actually.
Four. Yeah. 86 out of 151.
Yeah. I wonder if, in some ways, he's the guy that kind of changes the best bat moving to number four.
Oh, that's a good one.
Now, some of it is because he played with his brother, who was a natural number three, right? So maybe it was just it started there. But he feels like, to me, the first guy who's like, no, number four is actually a really, a very important, prominent position where, as we've talked about before, even the West Indies move their number fours around a little bit. And England obviously go everywhere. But it feels like after Chappell, people are a little bit like, no, this person is a number four and this person is not a number four. So I think he's a very important person in the history of number fours. But it is, there is just the fact that he plays about, 50 matches there. And if you compare him to me and Dad, who plays 100 matches at number four, like there's a huge jump between Kohli and everyone else. Having said that, he probably played another 25 matches at number four for the World Series cricket. But
that is fair.
I think he's a really good like entry point as well. If you look at it, I think his median entry point from the darts that we have is about the 23rd over. Just to give people an idea, that's basically a number five in the modern era. So
yeah,
that's good.
So quite a good entry point for him.
Is it Cheyenne now?
Yes. So I have two picks
yes,
now.
Sir.
I will go with Yunus Khan next. And my next pick after that I'm confused between two batters, actually another Pakistani batter and an old South African great batter. So I might flip the order of what I had initially decided. So I will go with Yunus Khan and then I'll go with Inzamamul Haq as my next two picks.
For double one. Pakistani.
Yes. So if we look at Yunus Khan, for example, so he bats quite a bit at number three as well and is very successful doing it. But at four, his numbers are solid. He averages 53. Match factor, I want to say, is 1.36. Yeah. Match factor of 1.36. And for Inzi, it's even better. In fact, it's a match factor of 1.42. They're both very close to 5,000 test match runs. Yunus Khan had a better conversion rate. Inzamam got to 50 more often. So I think those are the slight differences. Inzi also batted a bit faster than Yunus. But I think there's not really much between them. If you're just picking them for number fours, I think you can go either way, really. And even the South African rate, for that matter. So I've just gone with Yunus and Inzi in that order.
I would probably have Inzi ahead of Yunus.
No, I see the case for that.
I think he's a better player. But just because I feel like Inzi was a number four, whereas Yunus was number three for ages, then a number four for ages. But yeah, I had them very similar on my list. Yeah. I couldn't really work out.
All right. Let's just take a quick break. And once we're done, we'll come back to my pick.
Cricket boards actually make watching their games almost impossible. I spend almost as much time trying to find where I can view it as I do actually following the action. That is why I use NordVPN. They let me find all the cricket I want to watch while protecting me from the nasty side of the internet. Nord will free your cricket matches. Grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/goodareas to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan plus 4 additional months on top. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Watch every match with NordVPN.
Okay, so it's my pick now. I'll take Martin Crowe, I think. I think he deserves to be.
So what is that? He brings him in at about number 11?
Yeah, sounds about right. Let's say. Slightly higher than I would have had him. But yeah, I think I don't see a problem.
About number 11. I like it because it's I think it's he makes runs against the best teams in their home grounds, right? I really like that in a player.
He's fascinating as well because I think he averages almost 50 at number three, but they do move him about a bit, and it actually drops his overall average, right? Like he averages 50 at number four, but every time they play him in any other position, he never makes a run. Like he kind of is a number three. And I think that also comes on the back of the sort of the Greg Chappell thing. So if I know we talk about Sachin, Callis and Lara, but I do wonder if the first movement really is Chappell and Crowe, right? Because Pakistan obviously have been thinking about their best batter being at number four for a while by this point, I would say. And I think the other teams are starting to come to it for maybe varying reasons, but there is a movement there. You could make a case for Crowe, considering the kind of pitches that he played on and the kind of scores and everything. I think you could make a case for him.
Also, not a great batting lineup as well, right? I think.
Yeah. And okay openers, but I mean, I wonder who the number three would have even been in the test matches that he played. I wouldn't have thought he would. Well, I don't remember them having a great number three at any stage until Kane Williamson. So, you know, there wasn't a lot ahead of him for the first part of his career. He would have had John Wright and whoever the other opener was, but an okay opening partnership for a while there. But yeah, he was a number four who probably on occasion had to bat as number three in sort of true Joe Root style, right? All right. So now I think that's almost the end of all the obvious picks, unless I'm missing someone that you guys think is more obvious.
The South African great, I would say, like, you can make a case for him.
Well, but I would argue he's not an obvious one.
Yeah, kind of. It depends on how you look at it.
I think from here on in, there's caveats and there's kind of where you're going.
Yeah.
But I'll take the last one that I think is probably low-hanging fruit on the board, who could have gone earlier, which is Mahela Jayawardena. Yeah.
I was actually thinking of...
I've got lots of issues with his...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, almost 10,000 runs at number four, an average of 50. So his number four numbers are actually a little bit more solid.
Yeah, yeah.
There's obviously lots of issues with his record once you start to split it and home and away and in Asia and out of Asia and all these sorts of things. But purely as a number four, he was probably at his best, I would say, in test match cricket. And it's what suits his skills the most because he was brilliant. You know, he could face the new ball well enough if he came in on the back end of it. But realistically, once the spinners come on, that's his time, right? Mm. And he's going to be dominating you for a while. So go him. And then I've got the three sort of looser blocks here. I will go Graham Pollock as my pick there. So for those who don't know, many people thought that Graham Pollock was going to be, you know, the next Bradman-like player. He actually plays a little bit of test cricket. He plays 23 test matches. 23 times at number four. He might have played a couple more test matches, but he doesn't play a lot of test matches. And he averages 62 at number three. He's an absolute beast in that position. Over my career, I've talked to a lot of people who played against him, and they just said that he was like a machine. And, you know, he, a bit like Brian Lara, a lot of people talk about his ability to open and close his wrists and just find a gap every single time he wanted to. I remember Ian Chappell said to me, the only thing he could really do is bounce him for a while. And that would sometimes get him, it wasn't so much that he was bad against the short ball, but it would get him out of rhythm. But actually bowling any sort of line and length to him made no sense. Seems like a pretty good player to me. And of course, we missed his peak because of apartheid. Yeah, just a fantastic cricketer.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. Okay, now we get into the loosey-goosey stuff, right, as you said.
Loosier, goosier. Yeah.
Since I value stat padding more than I think either of you, I'm going to go Mohammad Yusuf, because the man could stat pad. Like, he could stat. I think he was at number four. He's averaging 91 in Pakistan.
Yes, I was going to say it.
Yeah.
Something ridiculous like that. Yeah.
Like, there's some weird holes in his record where, like, the pattern doesn't make sense, because you look at his record, you're like, okay, he doesn't make runs in Australia, South Africa. You're like, okay, doesn't like pace and bounce, good versus lateral movement in England and New Zealand. But then he's not actually great in Asia either. He's great in Pakistan, but he doesn't make runs in India or Sri Lanka. It's weird. The pattern doesn't make sense. Like, for example, if you look at Rahul Dravid, right? The pattern adds up. Great elite in England and New Zealand, elite in Asia. Doesn't like, what do you call it, Australia and South Africa most of the time. That makes sense. With Mohammad Yusuf, I'm like, there's something that doesn't add up in a way it does with the rest of them. Even with Inzi is the other one who's like, the pattern is perfect. With him, it's odd. But I still think it would be unfair if he's not in the 15 greatest number fours of all time. That would be a bit crazy, I think.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Someone asked me on Wagon Wheel about him the other day, and you do go through, I think we were comparing him to Michael Clarke, right? Mm. I think this is the conversation. And I said, I think that if you talk to people of that era, they might say that Michael Clarke was the better bat overall, right? But Michael Clarke has this teeny tiny, like, little period where he makes runs, whereas Mohammad Yusuf actually always made runs. He was a very automatic scorer. And outside of the pitches that bounced, which was Australia and South Africa, like, Yusuf has a fantastic record in New Zealand and England, right? Which is not always what you expect of a Pakistani player. So he has the normal flaws of a Pakistani player, and he has the normal peaks of a Pakistani player, in that if you get him on a flat pitch, you just wait until he goes out.
Yeah.
And I think he's one of the best ever to do that. Mm. And I think he deserves a spot here. It's just how high, because he has what's his average? It's quite high.
It's 57 at four.
Yeah. Correct. And so if you just look at average, you know, I mean, there's a few guys. I'll let you guys make your picks, and then because I think there's someone who's going to miss out here. But there's a few guys here with very high averages that we are probably going to skip.
Yes, we are. I think, and it's last pick is mine, right?
Yes.
I think I will go with the player that I grew up, you know, enjoying the most.
Thought you would.
not the worst. I mean, he was one of the players in that list of players that I grew up adoring. So my pick, my final pick and our last pick of this Crick Picks will be Kevin Peterson, who will be 15th place in this.
Yeah. I'm just saying, because we breezed through this one, do you guys want to do an additional round?
We can if you want. I mean, you say we breeze through it. So far, we've lost power 9 times.
I've lost internet.
I've lost power 9 times.
I've lost my internet in the middle of this. So,
so just on KP, I remember Greg Chappell. Ian Chappell was furious that they kept batting him at number 5, right? And he's like, this man was born to be a number 4 and everything. And he ends up, I mean, fair play to Ian Chappell, because at the time I was like, actually, like, he's quite aggressive. Like, I could see why he would be a number five and give him a bit more freedom. He ends up with 28 test matches at number five, averaging 44, and 89 test matches at number four, averaging 48. Like,
yeah.
Chappell was onto something, right, with that. He scored faster at number four as well. I think he had more impact when he came up the order than he did. And, like, he'd probably bat number five if he came through test cricket now. But actually, I think the way he played, the sort of ego that he had with his shots, I actually think probably number four made more sense of, like...
Stamp of authority and all that.
You really...
Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of changed games, right, in the way that he batted.
I also think he worked as a number four in that specific top three because you had, what, Cook, Strauss, and Trott. It's like, because they delayed the entry point so much that he probably, in any other team, he might have been like a number five anyway with when he was walking in usually, right? So,
and the batting era that he plays in as well. Like, he bats from what he debuts at, what, 25 and finishes at 33. It's like, basically, you've not had the early struggle period nor the later late career struggle period. I think that's why he's not rated as highly either in our book. But
I think
it's just impact to change games and... Yeah. You know, I've seen his 186. I've seen his, I think I've seen his 149 as well in England. So, I mean,
he's a very casual fans cricketer. I think that's the way I would put it.
Yeah, yeah, he is. He is 100%.
Yeah. You can, yeah, by the way, you have one more pick since we're doing an additional round.
Oh, if we are going in that direction, then yes. My next pick then would be Everton Weekes. I will go with him as my next pick. He batted at 457 out of 81 innings, so he's a fairly specialist number four. And he averaged 64, so quite a ridiculous record. But there are reasons why we didn't have him or the other great West Indian batters of that time as high. It's because when they were traveling, their records did not translate as well as compared to their home ones. And it's also about how they went up against the top teams, right? So I think putting Everton Weekes here...
He bats... 37 test matches at number three, Varun.
Four.
Sorry, number four. Number four, sorry. And he averages 63. So there are going to be a lot of people who are going to be upset at this. He made his first three innings, his first four innings at number four. Mm-hmm. Is this all the same? Yeah, yeah. His first four innings are 194, 162, 101, and 90, right? All against India in 1948. Not a very strong Indian team, right? He then... gets India back to, it doesn't make another 100 in that position for ages, right? Plays in England and Australia, doesn't make 100. Gets India to come back to the West Indies, makes 207. Yeah. Then he makes 161 against India. Then he makes 109 against India, right? Then he goes back and he plays against England and Australia. He makes his only 100 against England and Australia, batting at number four in this period. But again, struggles quite a bit against the better sides.
Correct.
Then he plays New Zealand. These are his first three innings against New Zealand. 123, 103, 156, right? Goes back to playing England, doesn't make 100. Pakistan come, he makes 197. So you are, this is an era where he's such a frustrating player because I know he was incredible. But if you go through his record, it is so annoying because he was a great player, and I don't want people to pretend that he wasn't. But at the same stage, he has one of the biggest, like, so this is his, forget number four, this is his overall record. He averages 24 against Australia. He averages 33 against England. He averages 111 against India, 60 against New Zealand. This is in those countries. Sorry, I should say. So in those countries, and then 60 in New Zealand. And if you look at his record by team, again, he averages 106, all things considered, against India. He averages 65 in Pakistan and 60 in New Zealand. He's literally I've never seen a gap between like what a player can do in against the second tier teams and the first tier teams. He's like a great first class player.
Would you say that's a fair
pattern? Yeah, I mean, it's
somewhat.
Not it's similar.
Completely.
It's similar.
Yeah.
All I'm hearing is he's an elite stat padder.
He might have been the greatest stat padder of all time. It's worth having a look at his record one day when you're bored. But there are fascinating things about him. For instance, could not make a run in the second innings. So he's the other one that we talked about with Steve Smith where his batting just gets worse all the way through the match. Yeah. So he averages 76 in the first innings. Varun, and it keeps going down until he gets to 27.
Yeah.
And he never made 100 in the fourth innings. So I don't even know what to say about him. I will say this. He also...
10 hundreds in draws out of 15. 10 out of 15 hundreds in draws.
He averaged 87 in draws. He was basically Bradman. I think if you give him a clean pitch with no issues, he was incredible. So I do think he deserves to be on this list. I think he is a quintessential number four in an era where there weren't that many of them.
Correct.
But I also am very confused by who by where you put him. And so I can understand if why people would be like, he needs to be higher.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
It's me again, isn't it? Yeah. I'll go Alan Border because I didn't realize his record at number four was quite solid until I did this. He's averaging about 49, just under 50 at number four. Like, his conversion rate, it's not great, which I think is probably the one flaw, but his away average is 55 batting at four, so that's insane to me. Like, he just couldn't stat pad in Australia, which is very rare for an Australian batter.
Yeah, yeah. Correct.
Just an incredible player away in general. Like, we, you know, it's just that he's not a number four. He's probably a number five. But you're right. He does play at number four. What? How many test matches did you say?
Where did I have their spot?
Or did you not?
I didn't say
that. So he bats 88 innings. 88 out of 265 innings. So, like a third of his career, he bats at four.
Ross Taylor couldn't see at night or when the clouds were in. Eventually, he had to see an eye specialist who would fix his eyesight. In the 2 years before the change, he still averaged more than 50 in international cricket. The top level of batting talent can basically see in the dark. That is who we are talking about in our new book,
He didn't do it a lot. In fact, he bats at number four more than number five, but he's probably, because he's one of the best number fives of all time. One thing I'd say about his number four batting, and you mentioned it there, was I think there's, I'm just trying to find it here. He makes a lot of sort of, 60, 70, 80s, and not outs in teams that weren't always particularly all that good. You know, so he's struggling and pushing them through. I kind of wasn't sure where to go with Border. I do think he probably is one of the greatest number fours of all time. It's just there are probably other players who are more number four-y, if that makes sense. And so I kind of doubted myself a little bit. But no, absolutely, you know, without doubt, I think one of the he probably does deserve to be on this list. He's probably unlucky that we missed him on the first one. There's a lot of good number fours, of course, too.
Jared, are you again? I think this is the last one.
This is our last pick. I'm just having a look at this player's record. Again, it's another guy with high average who we haven't quite mentioned yet.
I know who you're talking about.
Just let me look at my notes. Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. Wait, I've now completely lost his record. Give me 1 second. This is a player who I think for, you know, many different reasons is overlooked as a great player. We really struggled with him in the book. He is... He's probably someone who was a number three and a number four, which also makes it a little bit more confusing. And he batted everywhere because he played for England. But if you look at it all together, it does look like a very, very solid record. So I'll go with Ken Barrington, who averages just the 59 batting at number four. By the way, Everton Weeks has the highest average at number four.
he does.
So I think if you look at it, it looks a little bit thin, and me and Sean have obviously looked at his record. Actually, let me ask Sean, after looking at it, how did you feel about Barrington's record?
He had the thing now where he scored lots of runs against New Zealand in New Zealand, but that they weren't a very good team back then. Am I wrong? Or was that? Oh, no, wait. You might be getting that wrong. 1 second.
Only four innings in New Zealand.
Okay, no, sorry. 1 second. So I had Barrington and Hammond both in this list of players that I was not sure where to pick them. Yeah. I actually think Hammond is more of a number four in that sense because he bats almost half his innings at four and his average was, 51. But clearly he was much better when he batted at number three. And it's a similar sort of story with Barrington as well, where they both have like an insane conversion rate at three. So they keep piling on hundreds when they bat at three. But when they go down to four, it's more 50s and not converting them into big hundreds. So I think I would have gone with Hammond ahead of Barrington, and Hammond had the thing where he made lots of runs against New Zealand, right? In New Zealand. And so if we look at Barrington's record, for example, He averages 99 versus New Zealand, 79 versus Pakistan, 75 versus India, 64 versus Australia, then 49 versus South Africa, and 35 versus West Indies, which is how his split goes. And home and away, averaged 69 at home, averaged 69 away, and 50 at home.
Yeah, it's the more you dive into it with him, I think if you, and we did this partly because he's not considered by most people.
Yeah, we had him 17th.
The greatest player of his era.
Correct.
And yeah, and he also doesn't he average about 42 in first class cricket?
Oh yeah, that's
so. Correct. It might even be lower. It might even be lower than 40 in first class cricket, and then almost 60 in Test cricket. Right? It's Varun. It is fascinating. Ken Barrington. Ken Barrington and Everton Weekes are the two that are worth having a look
46
at.
46 as a first class batter, Jared. 46.
How much?
46, but this includes the
Test. But that's
including Test cricket. Yeah.
It's test average. So I'm saying, I think it's lower. I think it's maybe it's 42 or something. Yeah, it must be low 40, like that.
I think.
Yeah. Okay. So if you look at his record by bowlers, he sort of misses a lot of the best bowlers. So the bowler he went up against the most in Test cricket is McKenzie, who's an Australian bowler.
Yeah.
Who's probably not in the best 30 bowlers that Australia have ever produced, right? Sobers got him out a lot. Again, Sobers is not one of the greatest bowlers of all time. Very good bowler. Goddard is another one he went up against a lot. To be fair, he never went out to Wes Hall. So there are some good bowlers that he went up against. Yeah. But when we went through the bowling lineups that he went up against, it just felt like every time he was in a Test series and he was in form, the opposition either had an injury or there were really flat pitches when the opposition bowlers were on. Like, it just felt like there was always a reason to go against him. Having said that, this is a guy who dealt with serious mental health issues at a time when people did not accept that as a reason. I think he was a bit of an odd duck, and so he stood out a little bit and was probably picked on more than he needed to be. But it is one of the weirder records, I think, you'll find. My memory is does he have the second highest median score of all time, I think? He basically would just walk to the crease and get to 40 runs almost every innings. Like, he's just an absolute freak on that stuff. But again, I think that sort of stuff plays against him a little bit because everyone was like, yeah, he was very good at getting in. But was he very good at actually?
But Jared, this is where I have the question of why both him and Hammond have the thing of, at number three, they score lots of hundreds and they convert really well. But at four, somehow they can't do it. Like, is there a reason for it? It's very
hard. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's classic England. We'll never be able to, completely understand that. But yeah, no, you're right. It's a fascinating one. Anyway, we'll go with Barrington as the last pick.
All right. So we actually ended up doing like 24 players in the end, I think. We didn't even do 20.
Yeah. Did we?
It's 18, 6 each. Oh, yeah, sorry. It is 18. Sorry.
How's your maths?
I thought there was 4 of us.
I'm glad he's our numbers guy.
It's a good thing there's AI. I'm just going to read out a final picks in the end. So Jared went with Sachin Tendulkar, Javed Mirzad, Virat Kohli, Mahela Jayawardena, Graham Pollock, and Ken Barrington. I went with...
Oh, I'm winning the Asian vote, guys.
Yeah.
Asian block is just in the pocket.
You might also get a lot of people who hate you for picking Virat that high, so it could go either way.
I forgot about that.
So I went with Steve Smith, Joe Root, Greg Chappell, Martin Crowe, Mohammad Yusuf, and Alan Border. And Sharon went with...
You've gone with the solid white guy list here.
And Sharon's gone with Jack Callis, Brian Lara, Yunus Khan, Inzamam Ul Haq, Kevin Peterson, and Everton Weekes.
Yeah.
So, and then Sharon's gone with basically 90s, 2010 babies, right? That's an interesting one. That was good fun.
Yeah.
I think when you go down, it's a fascinating position because it doesn't quite have the gravitas of number three, but it actually has more. I would say over the history of the game has more better batters at number four than number three does.
I think that's very fair.
Actually, would it not have more gravitas, Jared? Because...
What was that?
I'm saying, would it not have more gravitas than the number four position? Because like all the best batters want to bat at number four. There's like a prestige attached to it in a certain sense.
No.
Three is harder.
You're talking about now. For 130 years, everyone said the best bat's at number three.
Fair.
Clearly it didn't have any gravitas then, did it? Yeah. Right?
Yeah, plus, true. I think you have to remember number threes have Viv Richards and Don Bradman to bring up the sex appeal, right? I think number four is more soft in that regard.
Yeah. We didn't have Peter May, who we also didn't have in our top 50 bats.
Yeah.
Norm O'Neill was a great player who averages 57 at number four, which I didn't know. You got Compton.
Yeah.
Hammond, we mentioned. Here's a fun one. Babar Azam.
Yeah, he averages 50. Yeah. Vijay Hazare has a good record at four.
He does.
Veng Sarkar and Ross Taylor.
Yeah.
Ross Taylor, yes.
That's her. Probably for a small period of time, but Damian Martin is another one.
Mark Waugh.
Yeah.
Probably another case as well.
Yeah.
Mark Waugh has a low average though, doesn't he? But
he bats there a lot.
But obviously. Yeah. I mean, Mark Waugh is one of the more quintessential number fours. Like you could almost if you wanted to just slip him in as that.
Yeah.
I think you could.
Genuinely. Yeah.
Yeah, I think his issue again is the inability to start bad. As we keep saying,
just despises.
I hate it. I can't forgive batters who can't start bad in Test cricket.
I would love to. One day we'll get a podcast between you and Mark Waugh. You and Mark Waugh would be the best match of two people ever on camera.
That would be quite fun because it's like, what do you mean? Like you thought you did your job? Start bad at double 100. Like what's wrong with you? Right? It's like, and with that, I think that's the end of this episode. Thank you so much for watching up to this point, guys. We'll see you again next time. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Rukshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv. If you make any content, Minvo Pro is the tool for you. Take your long format content and cut it and slice it for social media. This AI-inspired weapon will turn your one piece of work into so many clips. Try Minvo.pro now.